ברוכים הבאים בשם השם, ברוך נוכם ואיזה שם. Welcome to our weekly Wednesday Shir. This is Nishmas Rosenbass, Rav Chanan Ezra. And Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, 40 cycles. We've completed the 40th cycle of Limud HaRambam, three perakim of the day. What are you talking about? 40 years ago, the Rebbe instituted that the Rambam is a very, very fundamental sefer, fundamental learning, studies, and therefore it should be learnt apart from all the other learning that a person does. He should find time to learn 3 chapters a day of Rambam, and they will finish it in the course of a cycle. For those that undertook doing that, it's 40 years later, and we've completed now cycle number 40. 43rd cycle, because you get a little less than a year. It's a substantial amount. Gam, it's 43 also. Gam hineo eitz. Also the tree. Doesn't say hineo eitz, it says gam hineo eitz. Also the tree that Haman prepared for Mordechai to hang him. Oh, please. Rabbi, you're losing it. You're still drunk from Purim. Why would one talk about the expression, the tree that was prepared for Mordechai to be hung on? First of all, who said it? All of a sudden, there were his advisors in the middle of the night by Achashverosh. He couldn't sleep. Or all of a sudden, it happens that he gets angry at Haman for falling on Esther's bed. And someone comes along and says, Gam, he now ate Asher Asa Haman. What do you think it could have been? You're right, it had to be a malach, it had to be an angel. So, it's a quote of an angel, Gam Hine Ha'itz. Very, very, very poignant statement. The Megillah has a lot to tell us and does a lot for us, more than we ever imagined. The Imri Yosef always told a story about somebody that did something. And he was always very careful to mention exactly the name of the person that did it, happened with. There's one story he told without a name. Therefore, it was figured out, obviously, that he was talking about himself. And the story was, it was Seder night. It was Seder night. He had finished his Seder. And he was not tired. He wasn't ready to go to sleep. I guess he didn't do the floors that day. He wasn't tired. So he said, let me learn something about Yetzias Mitzrayim or something connected to the redemption. And he took out Megillas Esther. The Megillah Esther of all the books in the Sfarim Shafa, because this has to do, a lot of the story had happened on Pesach. So therefore he took out the Megillah Esther to learn. He took out Megillah Esther, and he was learning Megillah Esther. As he's sitting there, he gets a visitor. No, not a physical visitor. It's almost, well, it was physical in his sense that it was in front of him. But it was a neshama. A holy neshama. A soul. And the soul said to him a very interesting story with a request, with a plea. The neshama said as follows. As you may know, a neshama, after 120 years, comes the maila. The maximum that it takes for a neshama to go into Gan Eden is 12 months. That's why Kaddish is recited, because the maximum is for the wicked, a wicked neshama is 12 months. For others, it could be a lot less. But Kaddish is recited for 11 months to show that this person was not a Rasha. Well, one of the ways we know about the 12 months is because of the Megillah. How did the Esther, how did the maidens prepare to go meet Ahasuerus? Shiva Chadoshim, Shem Ramer, 6 months they had to be in their perfumes, and 6 months in the makeups and everything else. So that we learn from here that the 6 months and the 6 months preparation, these 12 months of preparation, just like they were preparation to go see HaMelech, and as we know that HaMelech referred to in the Megillah is the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, because it's not, David's name is not mentioned throughout the Megillah. Therefore, it's 12 months preparation, the maximum that a neshama could be held out of Gan Eden. When does the neshama get in? The neshama gets in Purim. Purim is an entrance day. Why? Because they read the Megillah. Because we read the Megillah, the gates of Gan Eden are opened, and the neshamas that were wandering until then can go in. So, after the 12 months, the neshamas line up and they wait their turn to get in while the Megillah is being read. I'm a little bit of a shlemazel apparently, and it's been quite a while, and each time, by the time I get to the gates are closed. So I decided I can't take this anymore. And I went to stand by the gates right after Purim. And I'm staying here until Purim, when they read the Megillah, and then I'll go in. Suddenly, Pesach night, the Megillah is being read. Megillah is being read. I bang on the doors. They said, "What? Who is this?" "I'm going to show them and I want to come in. The Megillah is being read. Open the gate for me." And lo and behold, you're reading the Neshama. You're reading the Megillah. But they said that this is not the regular time for reading a Megillah. However, the big tzaddik is reading it, and therefore has great merits, because he's doing it for a reason, because he wants to elevate the night of the Seder. if this tzaddik is ready to give up his merits for you, we'll open the gates, you take the merits, and you come into Gan Eden. Says the neshama to Rabbi Yosef, I'm here now, begging so that I can go into Gan Eden. If you give me the rights, give me the schusim that you have now for what you just read, the Megillah, I will be allowed into Gan Eden. Needless to say, Rabbi Yosef said, of course, gave the schusim for that holy neshama to go into Gan Eden. Gam, he ne'a eats now. Other mitzvah sada, person is compared to the tree. 43 cycles of learning of Rambam. After 43 cycles of learning Rambam, we have the concept of gam. We're starting the 44th cycle. 44 could be a very scary number, because it represents the letters of Dalet Mem, blood. But even by blood we see, Baruch Hashem, the blood of a Bris Milah, the greatness of Karbonis, the blood of the Karbonis. That doesn't have to mean, Chas V'Shalom, anything bad. There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. By learning Teresh B'Ksav and Teresh B'Al Peh, that's 22 and 22, which therefore is 44. Thereby entering into the 44th cycle of learning of Megillah, learning of the Rambam, 3 Pirakim a day. So to all those that are learning 3 Pirakim a day, mazel tov to you. For all those that learn only Sefer HaMitzvahs, you too finished this cycle. And for those that are learning 1 Pirak a day, may Hashem Devish should give you kayach, you should be able to learn 3. Rambam is halachas. He is a Sefer of halachas and only halachas. And we've spoken of many different sayings and expressions and brachas that the Rambam brings down in the Sefer Yad HaChazokah, and it's explained how it's a halacha. For example, when he talks about Melech HaMashiach, he says, "M'heira v'yameinu, omein kein yehi rotzen." Amen Kei Yiratzen is only a bracha. So what kind of halacha is it? And the halacha we said at the time, we explained, is that is the halacha. When you talk about Melech HaMashiach, you have to say Amen Kei Yiratzen. It should happen now. Rambam begins with the words, the 4 words, Yaseida, Yaseidas, Vamud HaChokhmah. Secrets of the secrets. And the beam of Chochmah. That's a halacha. For those that are starting the Rambam tomorrow, you won't find that in the beginning, because we go through all the mitzvahs first, the introduction to Rambam, etc. But once you start Hilchos and Rambam, the Hilchos Deis, you start, you say this, the Amud HaChochmah. And then it says in Rambam, the halacha of the mandas, one needs to know the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatness of Hashem. And one needs to live with that. This thereby is interpreted in the halacha. the fact that a person connects to the Eibishter with one of the names that most important and relevant names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Havaya of Yud Kei Vov Kei, which Yisayid HaYisaydis Amul HaChokhma Ad Rosh Tevis Yud Kei Vov Kei, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of the Eibishter. This is the most powerful of the names, represents me this Achesed, represents so many different things. Das Havaya Lekecha, once you know, once you learn about the Eibishter, you will learn about the different directions of which we receive Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no different dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no different angles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipresent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what makes us exist and why we exist. And therefore, the Rambam begins with Deir, Yisayid HaYisaydis, Yisayid Amud HaKadosh. And that a person needs to know that this is how the foundation and fundamental of our life, how our existence can only be. And the world entirely is enveloped in exactly that. And then the Rambam finishes off at the end of the 14th Svarim. Lefichach, therefore, you Yisrael chachomim gedolim. They should be great chachomim. V'yoyidim dvarim astumim. They know the most secrets, the most things that are the most hidden knowledge. V'yasigu das beirom, and they should be able to achieve the das of their Creator. Kefikeach odom, according to the keach of the person. Shenemar, for it says, and the Rambam brings down a pasuk from Yeshaya as a proof to the fact that we need to know and how we need to know and how the world will be complete once we really know this. Ki mola oretz deyas havaya kamayim layom mechasim. The entire world will be full with the knowledge of God as the water of the river covers it. Just as the water, as we know, the Gemara tells us the end of Brachos, the story of Rabbi Akiva with the fish out of water. Just as the fish within the water are receiving and are recipients of everything that's all that's holy, so too in the world is covered. Mayim layom mechasim. It covers the entire world. Ein mayim ela teira. Therefore, the depth of teira, rozen shebirozen of teira. Just like with a fish where they have the deepest secrets of Teda, this is how the world will ultimately be fulfilled in its full mission. And this is how the Rambam connects the beginning of Rambam and the end of Rambam. And thereby we ultimately are making a Siyum Rambam of our 43rd cycle. Gam Charveinu also. Who was Charveinu? What is Charveinu? The word Gam includes everything. Gam means also. Also, when you're saying something, you say also. You connect another thing to it. You tack on something else. And this is therefore as a Siyum Rambam, but as a scholar Rambam as well, because we don't finish anything. We never learn. We never finish something we learn. And this is how in the camps, the overnight camps, when they used to have, we had learning classes in the morning and the evening. When they announced learning classes were over and you were able to go to the next either activity or dinner or whatever you were going to, the announcement was, learning never ends, learning never ends. But you can now go, you now have to go, you should go, whatever it might be. But learning never ends. And this is how we find always the intertwining of a subject, of a learning, of a thing that we learn from the beginning and the end. Not tchilosam b'seifan, v'seifan b'tchilosam. And we do this also every time we learn a chumash, we complete a chumash, we also discuss how the beginning of that chumash and the end of that chumash intertwined. And anyone that learns anything else, a mesechta of any sort, anything in Mishnayos, you will always find the beginning and the end are always intertwined. And this is therefore the Siyum of Rambam, Mazel Tov, which we now complete, and we move on to begin again, yet not once again, the next cycle. Cycle Hamachzer HaMemdalid, double Asius of Aleph Beis, 2 times 22, where we now are going to take in all the secrets of Torah, the Razan Shabarazan, the Pnimius HaTorah, and everything else, and the Seidus HaTorah. The Kahanim worked in the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking now, we're in the second portion of Chumash Vayikra, Parshas Tzav. Again, continuing to talk about the sacrifices, as the entire Chumash Vayikra is known as Teiras Kehanim. We spoke last week. This Shabbos is also Parshas Porah. So, if you want to celebrate properly, when Lahavdla Elvav Avdolos, the world celebrates Thanksgiving, they call it a holiday of turkey, and they put a turkey on the table. Shabbos Pashas Pada, perhaps we should put a cow on the table. Don't try this at home. Pashas Pada, Zeis Chukas HaTeira. This is the secrets, the mitzvahs that we do without the knowledge as to why. And we've spoken many times Pashas Chukas. You can go back into many different archives of Chukas to hear what a Chuk is and how it affects us. The Chukas HaTeira, the Pora Aduma, the sacrifice that makes everyone pure. Except for the person that sprayed it, he has to wait. We discussed that. The ultimate goal of the Pora Aduma is to purify the people. And that's done before HaChedesh, we're preparing for Karban Pesach, so that everyone in the nation should be able to bring the Karban Pesach. Iker Aveda in this world is here in Lamata. We're given, as the song goes, 70, 80 years and a shama wears and tears, just to do a favor for another. Needless to say, 70, 80 years, someone's going to say, oh man, a person only this to 70, Chatzalom? No. When does the person start all these cheshbein? It's only when they're 20. So once they start at 20 years old, they start doing all these things, and then 70, 80 years later, so 90, 100 years old, you know, a decent amount of years. We are now in a generation of Deir HaShvi'i where we are anticipating B'yas HaMashiach Tzikeinu any moment. V'heira v'yameinu amein sela. And that time will be Chaim Nitzchi. So it will no longer be relevant to say 70, 80 years, it's perpetuality, forever. The Pora Aduma represents the cleansing. Most part, people that were impure because they were dealing with the dead. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu will bring the 10th Pora Aduma as we are all being gathered by Mashiach, so that everyone may be sprayed, so that everyone become pure, and thereafter paradumo will no longer be necessary, because no longer will there be death, and all those that died will stand up. Therefore, with Chiyas HaMesim, there won't be graves to walk over or past. So therefore, this Shabbos Parashas Parah, according to some deists, it is also Minatera. It's probably a little severe to ask the women to go again this week for Parashas Parah. They went last week, Parashas Zachar. There was a little bit of an awakening, a rude awakening that people had all of a sudden. And the rude awakening was about, is Parashas Zachar really, really Minatera or not? Do women have to really? No, it's definitely Parashas, sorry, it's Minatera. Do women, are women obligated to go hear it? And there were those who wanted to say, eh, no pressure. You can always hear Purim, Ve'Amalek. We discussed this as well last week. Well, let me tell you, I came to the conclusion last week that women should go hear Parashas Zachar. And I will take zero credit for the hundreds, the thousands of women that clamored to shul to make sure in this inclement weather, the pouring rain, to make sure that they heard Parashas Zachar. If I want to complain though, and I want to scream and cry, I would like to cry, scream and complain, Ribbono Shel Olam, V'schus Noshim Tzidkoniyus, we came out of Mitzrayim in the merit of the holy righteous women we left Egypt. V'schus Noshim Tzidkoniyus, we're going to go out of this Golus. Did they not prove themselves this past Shabbos, Parashas Zachar, showing up in droves, hundreds and hundreds of women showing up? Was that not enough to tip the scale? What more could you possibly want? And if it's Parshas Parah that you want, I will tell you it will probably happen again, especially since the weather will be a little better this weekend. It'll probably happen again, and the shul will be again filled, but they're not going to have readings of Parshas Parah throughout the day, like they had for Parshas Zachar. So therefore, it will have to be balanced and juggled by the husbands and the wives to get them to shul while the husbands watch the babies. So it might not be that successful. But then again, Rabbeinu Shlalem, we need you to come through for yours. There was no reason, no explanation as to why Mashiach Tzidkenu did not come Parashas Zachar, with the hundreds of thousands of women going to shul, crying for their brethren in Eretz Yisrael, for the ones in captivity, with the Eibush to take them out immediately. For all these people, people they never met in their lives, never saw in their lives, but yet crying for their bitter tears, watching by the Sefer Torah, by Hagba, and davening, what am I davening for? This woman needed to daven for children, this needed to daven for her own children, isn't that? But they're davening for who? For the ones of Jews in captivity. People they never met, probably, very likely, will never will. But for them, Veitman, this is who they're crying bitter tears. This is what the Noshim Tzidkoniyus are doing in Ribbono Shel Olam. Ad Mosai. How much longer, how much more are you going to schlep? So the Kahanim now that serve in the Beis HaMikdash needed to wear special garments known as Bigdei Kahuna. One of the Avedis in the Mikdash, one of the things, jobs they had to do, was to take out Hitzos Hadeshin, as it's called. On the altar, on the Mizbeach, there was wood set up for fire, on which the karbanis, the sacrifices, were burnt. the kabbanis were burnt to ashes. The wood turned to ashes. And this had to all be cleaned up on a daily basis and start again tomorrow. So, who's cleaning up that mess? Who's cleaning it? The same people that do all the other avedas in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. The Kehanim. So there was a Kohen that needed to... Hi. ¿Todo está bien? Hello? Baruch Hashem, what's your name? Baruch Hashem, what's your name? בוא עכשיו אני יכול לחזור אליכם בחצי שעה? אני באמצע שיעור בגיל הסדר. My adopted father. Anyway, someone had to get that mess out of there. Someone had to clean it up. You're not letting a regular person walk into the Mizrach Mikdash and climb out on his back to clean it off. So it was a kayin. A kayin. The Pasuk says, "Ufashat as begodov, alovish begodov achirim." He was wearing his priestly garment, but he was not allowed to go out to the mizbeach to clean up with the mess. With that, he had to change his clothes. He had to put on simple clothes because they were going to get dirty, obviously, from the ashes and everything else. And have to take it out. Take out the ashes, not the garbage. And Rashi explains, he should not make dirty with the ashes his garments that he big day kahuna that he wears on a constant basis. Rashi continues and brings a second reason with a mashal. Begodim shebishul behen kideira l'rabbi, I'll use it behen kideira l'rabbi. The chef that cooks the most delectable meal, finest of meals, for his master, has his aprons and his hat and everything. But if he were the person that had to come serve as well, he would not come in his apron to the table. He would need to change his garments. Come with a beautiful garment to serve, to pour the wine. So Rashi gives us two things. One, the garment should not get dirty. And two, that you don't wear the same garment to do this job with this as we do this job. The second explanation of Rashi is answering a question that is very bothersome, shall we say, and that immediately slaps us in the face. There were many avodas done in the Beis Hamikdash, many different things they served, and they got dirty. I mean, go slaughter an animal and not, you know, and get away without any blood coming near you. Bring the mincha sacrifice, the mixing up, the oil and everything else. Getting the blood, spraying the blood from the animals. And so much, and of course, the picking up of the ashes, haram hasadesh. Why then, therefore, the Kehanim were allowed to do all the other jobs in their same garments, whereas for the Tzoras Hadeshin, they had to change? And the simple answer is brought down by Rashi in the Mashal, that the servant comes before his master, the dirt that he accrues preparing to do things for the master are not considered dirty. It's part of the work for the master. However, the work of preparing the serve, cooking with a pot, that's not in front of the master. And therefore, that dirt is not acceptable by the table. So you cannot pour the wine in that same garment. So whereas the person is bringing the carbon, shechting the carbon and everything else, and he's getting with the blood and with the animal, with the burning and throwing the stuff onto the Mizbeach, and dealing with the actual, obviously they were getting dirty, but they were getting dirty with actual preparing and preparation in front of Hashem, for Hashem. Beautiful. This whole story gets our head shaking. It's a total different question. If taking out the ashes was such a difference in the Beis HaMikdash, why did the Torah command this Kohen to do two jobs? He was obviously wearing Bigdei Kohuna, he was doing other jobs. Now if he had to go do the Deshen, he had to change his garments. Why was he given a second job? Let there be a Kohen designated that can't do Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, a person that has a blemish or something of the sort. Let his job be do that. And therefore he will never wear those big dikuna. Therefore there won't be an obligation to go change it, etc. Not only that, he won't take him away from his job and he won't be doing two jobs. He wouldn't have to be worried about his garment being soiled from the ashes. But rather, the Torah is teaching us a very strong lesson in the way I serve Hashem. A person, a Yid, serves the Eibishter, not only Ki and Mitzvahs itself, but also with all different levels of preparation. And these preparations, one needs to do their own. They can't have somebody else prepare everything for them, and they just do the Mitzvah. We're not telling you have to write your own tefillin, you have to make your own animal into straps or into the boxes. But preparing yourself for the mitzvah of tefillin, you have to prepare your own. You can't have somebody else do the preparations, you put on the tefillin. And therefore, if you keep in score, it's also in Bab Metzia, Peches Amidbeis. Sorry, Pehe Amidbeis. The Gemara tells us about Chia. He did not suffice it with the job of teaching children Torah, but he also did all the preparations for the scrolls and everything the children needed on his own. He took the wool and he prepared everything he did, the entire preparation. The ink, preparing the ink, and giving food to the orphans. From the skins of the, and giving clothing from the skins of the animals. And therefore it says, Kama gedulim ma'asachia. How many greatness has come out of Chia? Because everything was done through him completely. Another lesson we learn, when it comes to influencing a fellow Jew, one could think that he does this only with Ashpah and Jews that find themselves in front of their teacher. Jews that are coming to learn, coming to Bismedesh, coming to Davin. So I have to deal with them and tell them. But to Ashpah on a Jew that's outside of the machna, that doesn't come to learn, doesn't come to shul, I should go look for him. That's not my tafkid. Tells us the Torah that this too was not given to other kehanim that could not just do the Aveda. He himself had to be involved with this as well. And although this is a very, very demeaning, practically, job for him, when he does this Aveda, he's called a Kayin Shalom. This makes him complete. And therefore, it wasn't a demeaning job that if Kayin felt that, oh no, I was demoted and I have to go do this. This was part of my complete cycle of work. The Chayti Elonu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself should hold us by our hands each and every Jew, take us out of Golos and bring us the entire Am Yisrael to Geula Amita Shlema Yidei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera B'meinu Amen. On the Mizbeach it says there was an Eish Tamid Tukaral on the Mizbeach, and this Eish Tamid may never be extinguished. Telling us that every circumstance, in any situation, whatever it was, there always is a flame burning on top of the Mizbeach. Never stopped. And we know the Mizbeach represents the heart of a person. And just like the Mizbeach is a place where the flame needs to constantly be burning, say as well, the heart of a person, the heart of a man, of a woman, the flame has to constantly be burning. And therefore we have to show the actual spiritual connotations, the commandment of our parsha. A person should worry, should be involved with exactly that. That the Eish Havaya, the flame of love of God, the burn in the Yanei Torah, the fervor of mitzvahs, should constantly burn in our hearts and never be extinguished. Chalila. The Gemara Yerushalmi, if you can be scored home, is Yuma Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. Tells us, Tomid, even on Shabbos. Tomid, even in impurity. And this halacha, in the years of Chilkiah, teaches us a very powerful lesson in how one needs to love Hashem. The essence of Shabbos is we are totally detached from the worldly concepts. On this day, a person is totally involved in only spirituality, only in godliness. And therefore, he's totally detached from any kind of mundane things in the world. And in that status, one could think, he doesn't have to really burn with fire with learning, Torah, serving God, because it's an automatic pilot. He's in Yanei Ruchnim only, the highest levels. Tells the Torah, Tomer Afilu B'Shabbos, this flame of Avedus Havaya has to be even in a time where you think you're on the highest level. And therefore, a Bachur sits in yeshiva and says, I learn all day. When I have a break, I can sit and I can do other things. I could perhaps watch a show, watch a sport event, watch this, watch that. Saknu the name, Tomid, Tukad. From the other hand, it could be an opposite thing. Men that are very, very spiritual, and they end up chasishon tmeim, impure. And they can think that Atzila, I have no connection with the Eish Tamid, with the flame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm impure. Tells the Teda Tamid Afila Betuma. Even in this low level of your drop of level of ruchnias, of spirituality, one needs to keep constantly the flame of fire. And Adrabah, this heat of the Jew, this basic love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the end of the game, the end game, as we say. The flame that will bring the person out of this lowly state, out of this tumma state. The Magid of Mezish tells us, and he adds another explanation. What is the perpetuality of Eish Tomid in every time and every place and every situation. But rather this hislavus, this burn, is perpetuated and ingrained in Torah mitzvahs. And this therefore will automatically detach us from other types of thoughts. And these words and these actions that are not supposed to happen, and this fervor which at the moment we are involved in, even at this one cannot completely be protected from the Yetzer Hara. But therefore the person needs to apply themselves to Eish Tomid, Hatomid. Even this short time, immediately the person has to rebound, as we say. And the nefesh has to be rebounded to the emotional and to the wants, and to keep us away from Hashem Yishmerenu, things that are not possible, not positive. Each and every one of us has a constant test of Eish HaTomid in our Mishkan HaPnimi within Yonei Teira Mitzvahs. And we do this with a Chayas Eish Pnimis. And we think to ourselves, maybe this is only for the learned. Only for those people that sit and learn Teira. And therefore, when you judge it, you look at the way the person is mekayim Teira mitzvahs. If he just does it because, I did it, I'm finished, I got my mitzvah done. Or if he constantly tries to improve and to enhance the mitzvah. And he makes that connection of his holy soul and a total pnimius, and he makes this into Eish Tomid. And if the person is makriv the korban out of all the sacrifices mentioned here, we have the mention of the korban Tomid. Korban Tomid is brought because of Chaim. Chaim, Zerash Tevis Chaim in Shulchan Aruch. The person needs to be thankful for four things. Chaim represents Ches is a Chayla, Yud is Yam, Yud again is Yisrael locked up, and Mem is Midbar. Rashi tells us, for example, someone who goes over the water through the desert, is in prison, and a person that was ill that became healed. Pretty much the opposite of what we just said. In Tehillim, it says, Yoidu l'Hashem chaste v'nifleis of the ve'adam v'yizbuchu zivchei teda. And this way we reveal these psukim of Tehillim, what is not explained exactly in the Teda, who are those that need to be the makir of the Karim Teda? In essence, if a person needs to praise Hashem for wonders and miracles that were performed for us, the person should be makir of a Karim Teda every day, several times a day. And Chazal tell us, I'll call Neshima, Neshima, Shalom Neshim. Tzadach L'Kalis L'Bedei. For every breath, we have to be beyond thankful to God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, our Creator. And Avraham Avinu taught us this, that he taught people to bench before eating. Baruch Hu L'mi Shachalta Mishalei. Bless the one that you've eaten his food. And therefore each and every one of us has to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our tefillahs three times a day. Al nisecha shebechol yeim imanu v'al nefesecha v'tefesecha shebechol eizher v'vekim v'tzarayim. All the miracles and wonders that God performs upon us day and night. But a person doesn't occur to them that they need to bring a korban tamid, a korban teda, all day long, or a few times a day. Not for every chesed and teva do we have to go praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the bringing of a korban. Korban teda was brought only for these four things, these four special miracles that happened, as mentioned in Tillim. But the order in which it's mentioned, Rashi says these four miracles. He doesn't say it like it's mentioned in Tehillim, but he says it in a different order. The order in Tehillim is the ones who go in the desert, like we just said, the ones in jail, the sick person, and the one that goes over the desert, and... Yeah. The one that goes over the water. Rashi says no. The ones who go over water, through the deserts, in prison, and then the person that was sick. He mentioned the last. Perhaps we could say this is more befitting and more personalized, because this is how the Jews experienced it. They left Mitzrayim. In the beginning, they made the miracle, they made it through the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore they were considered Yerde Hayom. Afterwards they went to the desert. And in continuation to this, after going through the desert, they were stuck there for 40 years. So therefore, it was like they were in jail. The fourth one, Chedesh in Israpa, it's not a miracle in general that happens to one person in particular. People get sick, Rechman and some people get healed. And therefore he counts it as the last one. On these miracles that Bnei Yisrael actually experienced, they didn't have to bring a korban teda. And therefore the korban that they were makriv was only because of doubt, maybe there was a danger. But they went according to the way of Hashem. Hashem helech lefneim l'archeis ha-maderech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu led their way, paved their way for them. So did they see, did they experience an actual miracle? Did they experience an actual danger that they were going to be saved from? And therefore there was no danger. But still in all, they saw and experienced this miracle within this miracle, as it had been done in a regular way, in a regular fashion. This we learn a tremendous lesson, that when a Jew is here in Golus, even though he has everything he needs, or he thinks he does, he's considered as if we're sitting still in a Beis HaSurim. And that's why we say, Akate Avde Achashverosh Hanan. We're still slaves of Achashverosh. This Bechina is to us in general, Yeshvi Cheshach V'Tzalmovis. Dark, sitting in darkness. Therefore, it's understood that each and every day we need to be fully excited and fully all revved up, psyched up, whatever you want to call it, and prepared to fulfill the ultimate yearning and the ultimate goal of Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu Sheitzienu, that take us out of the Beis Yisurim, take us out of this Golus, this spiritual Golus and the physical Golus, and take us Kevimius Le'atzenu Heira V'Yemenu Amen Shabbat Shalom to all.